please rise?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this the most incredible day we've experienced so far? We are in a new place, and this is a new day, and we're going to carry on. So how many saw my email last night, or online or something? Okay. How many didn't pay attention to it that are over 65 here? Okay, I see that. Just shows how much I love you. I care for you. But we're going to be safe with each other. And so, part of what in the last week, just to give you some information, you know, there's been quite a bit of discussions and, you know, obviously the whole world is changing. And so at least my thought is that we're going to cooperate with our local folks. I've been on the phone with Mayor Bob Gallagher, with the local health department folks. They have said, you know, gatherings over 250 really need to be restricted. Under than that, you know, use your best judgment. Last night, our bishop, Lori Haller, has encouraged Iowa churches across the state to discontinue their services. So I would say it's more than likely this is our chance to be together for a while. More than likely, we probably won't have services here next week. But our Facebook page, our website page will be very important to check in for what's the latest. So again, we are going to do this together, and it will be exciting, it will be challenging, it'll be very difficult, and yet there's hope. God will see us through. So part of what I want to share is just, maybe go ahead and sit down. This will be a little bit of extended announcements. Go ahead and sit down. So you've seen some of the precautions that you've had coming in. Here's the objective for today. At some point, we're going to have to learn how to live and continue to do business and such in this new era. And so it's just not practical that people are going to be able to have to stay at home by themselves all the time. But to go out and interact with folks, we've got to figure out a way that we can do that safely. So that's all the sanitizer things. The primary thing today I want you to think about is not to touch anything. So that's why we've got the door handles. We'll sanitize those. The doors are all propped open. We will, at the next service, sit in the opposite pews, so there won't be anybody sitting in the same place that you're at between services. Carol is going to give us instructions. Anybody who's willing to stick around, we're going to wipe down the pews just so that there's any disinfectant before the 11 o'clock service. We're going to try the Facebook live streaming, the 11 o'clock service, so people who aren't here can at least try Facebook. And we'll have a steep learning curve this week on how to prepare for doing worship and staying connected electronically. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens this week, because we'll be learning things and trying new things. And again, partly what will be very important is the cooperation and the compassion and the umbrella of grace that we extend to one another. So here's just a couple things. One is when you go into the bathrooms and wash your hands, it's a big thing to wash your hands. You can use a paper towel, dry it off. You know, use your elbow to touch turn the faucets on. You use your paper towel then to open up the door. And then there's a basket right there at the door. Just open up the door with the handle, you can drop it in the basket. We're not gonna have fellowship hour at this point. And when you leave, you know, there's the doors that are there, and anybody know what they call that bar across the door? The panic bar. But we're not going to panic. And so I think we'd like to start now renaming that the butt bar. So that wherever you see that bar, you can use your butt to open it up and walk out without having to, touch a surface that way. All right? Aren't you excited to try that now? You'll think about that. That's the butt bar to go out the door. All right? So the other things is, like I say, you'll see all kinds of announcements. Just stay connected. We will do a children's sermon in a bit, Bob. I told you otherwise, but we will do one because I'll use that to explain something. So we won't have a choir today. We don't have some other things, but we do have Gail. And so, Gail, praise God. Thank you for being here. And Val Maher has been willing to lead us as the first time as our lay liturgist today. So, Val, thank you for being willing to do that. It's not a hostile crowd, so don't worry. So let's continue on then, let's do the announcements then. First of all, spring break. Office hours this week will be just during the mornings. So if you've got activities or things going on just this morning during the week. Okay, next week, Easter is coming. It'll still be here no matter what. And so you'll see there's flowers that you can order. The deadline will be the end of the month on the 30th. And then Holy Week services, this is what we've got scheduled for now. And we're hopeful, praying, that we'll be in a schedule that we'll be able to maintain that. But everything's just be in touch. We'll see how that goes. Iron Sharpens Iron is also a big conference coming up, and there's a deadline for signing up for that, but also that, just stay in touch in terms of what they do in terms of a small or a large group meeting. That's also probably a subject to change. And then also, I know we've got a church cleanup day coming, and so there's sign-up sheets out in the narthex areas, but we also want to make use of the serve cards that are in the pew. And so on April the 5th, let's see, on the 11th, thank you, April of the 11th, which is a Saturday, a day to kind of clean up the church right before Easter. So on the Sunday right before Easter. So if you're willing to help and kind of spruce up the church, get it ready for that, if you would just take out a serve card and write on that and put that in the offering plate. And instead of the sign up, we're not going to pass around a sign up sheet or whatever. There are sign up sheets, so you can sign up on either Narthex, but again, right here, you can do it on a serve card that you'll be here that morning with the various tasks and just put that in the offering plate. Okay? Speaking of offering, we're not going to pass the plates today either. And so you'll see on the way out, there's sanitizer and there's offering plates at the back of each aisle. So on our way out today, just place your offering in the plates that are there. Because our financial commitments and support of the church will continue to be important. A lot of people don't give if they don't come. And so we're also looking as a church the importance of how we continue to maintain our financial strength and all the ways that we will prepare for what's ahead. But so that's the way that you will receive the offering this morning. Let's see, anything else? Isn't this exciting to know? You don't know what's going to happen next, do you? So it's a good thing to be awake and to be here and to worship. And we will be recording this as well. And so might be several folks that are watching this later on. Our prayers go out to you. And it's a new day, and it's a good day because God is here, and there's something for us to learn and to do and to serve. Okay. Oh, I had a thought too. We'll do it later. We'll come back to it. So we're not going to do the attendance pads, okay? But we're going to do the children's sermon. I'm going to take your picture. I'm just warning you. So instead of attendance pads, Aaliyah's going to help me. I'm going to take your picture so we can see who's here today. Okay? Okay.
Please rise.
There we go.
Let us join together in the call of worship. With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? With the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil.
Should I give the noblest child for my crime, the fruit of my body, the sin of my spirit?
He has told you, human one, what is good.
What does
Please join me in the unison prayer. Almighty God, when your son taught in the temple, he was risking challenge. Some did not believe, and others hoped to make him stumble. But you, O Lord, held your son high. Through his teachings, he showed us a better way to live. Open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to be taught anew the challenging words of Christ. May they open our lives to new and deepening discipleship. Amen.
Pass the peace, and I don't anybody move. Stay where you're at, but look around and see who's here. Just give them a hug with your mind and say hello and God bless you. Glad you're here. You know, I've heard different things. You know, live long and prosper. You can do that kind of thing, Dr. Spock. But there's part of the you know, even though we are maintain our social distance. God can still connect our hearts. And we're going to find new and creative and wonderful ways to make that connection. Okay, you may be seated. Go ahead. Our joys and concerns, our ushers will have the microphones, but they'll bring it to you. They'll hold it for you. So they won't take it, don't take it from their hands, but they'll hold it so that you can share.
Linda Jones, last Sunday I offered prayers for Mary Kay Beck and for her family, and Mary Kay passed away Friday evening, and she's now at peace, not suffering anymore. So still prayers for the family.
Good morning, Dan Brown. Those of you who have been a part of the community for a while may know a gentleman by the name of Ted Larimer. He was a longtime science teacher at Bettendorf Middle School. Ted had a stroke last weekend, had surgery this week, and is now fighting pneumonia in the hospital in Peoria.
Dave Phillips, I got an email from Sandy Yoder this morning. He and Suzanne are in the midst of a trip down in Australia. They ended their Australian part of their trip, and they were getting ready to go into New Zealand for the last 10 days of their trip, and New Zealand is not allowing visitors in, so they're flying back today, I guess. So prayers for them to get out of there and get home safely. Thank you.
I've got one additional. We received a Facebook message last night, and Stephanie Barr has attended our church previously. She's an Army wife. I think her husband works at the Arsenal. They recently moved to Bluegrass, so she hasn't been here fairly recently, but she just was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she said she gets a port put in tomorrow. So she asked if we would pray for her, and so we remember Stephanie Barr, just recently diagnosed with breast cancer, I will have a port put in tomorrow. So we want to pray for Stephanie.
Amen.
Amazing God, we thank you for the blessings we have enjoyed this week. Most especially, we thank you for this chance to gather for worship and praise your name. We thank you for celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, and for those traveling or hosting for spring break. We ask for your traveling mercies upon all who are traveling to serve others, spend time relaxing, or are with family and friends. We lift up to you our nation and our world as we deal with health scares. For those who have contracted the coronavirus, we pray for healing. For those who have died or know others who have died, we ask for your comfort and presence. For those who are filled with fear and concern, we ask for a sense of peace that passes all understanding. Give guidance to leaders in our community and the world as we make decisions to care for all people. Bring healing to those who are ill. Help us to care for one another in the midst of this epidemic, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Holy God, we pray for all people who are suffering, who are fighting diseases, who mourn, who are filled with fear. May they all feel your presence and experience your healing in their lives. We thank you for how you have protected and blessed us, and ask that we might in turn be a blessing to others. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. He taught us to pray a prayer that we will now sing this morning. First scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God. I invite the children to come forward to sit with Pastor Tom.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. All right. Okay, so do you notice that I'm wearing something different today than I usually do? What am I wearing? I got like builder's blue boots and blue jeans and kind of a plain shirt. You know why I did that today? Who wears builder's boots? Builders, these are my work boots. So today I wore these because we've all got a job to do. You know? So have you heard things about the coronavirus and schools sometimes are making changes or work things and so on? People have to stay home, son. Well, anytime there's a challenge, sometimes that means people have a job to do. So all of us have a job to do to get through kind of a challenging time, okay? So do you know what your job is? Stay safe, be a kid, and have fun, and help out any way you can too. You are the representative of your class.
And my other friends.
And your other friends. That's great. So I've got another job for you today, too. So we didn't pass out the attendance registration pads. So what we're going to do is take a picture of the people who are here. And I think you're just the person to do that. Can you do that? So here's the camera, and we'll let people cooperate. Now you stand up. Hold it up so we can take a picture. Stand up so we can get a good picture right up here. See if they'll help you out. Come stand right here. Hold it up so that you can take a picture right there, those folks, and you push that button right there. There's one for them. Let's get these people right here. You got it? Oh my gosh, you are so fast. Come over here. Come over here so we can get a good one. Yeah, get these people. Hold it. Put a button. Oh, you're down already? Do another one right there. Excellent. And do these people over here. Nice. And we better get the people up in the balcony. Can you hold it up there? Get them? Oh, and nice. All right, great. Okay. What? Oh, you get okay. Better get those guys. They don't want to be left out. Get those people too. Nice. All right. Okay. Sit down right here. So that was really good. Now, pull out your hands. Here's a little hand sanitizer. You know what you do with that? Now we rub our hands like that, because we shared that camera, didn't we? Yeah, all right. So here's our job to do. Everybody's got a job to do, and there's certain things we're going to have to learn, and you are just as important as everybody else. So that's why I wore my work boots today, just as a reminder, a parable, that we've all got work to do, don't we? And with God's help, we can do it, right? So we're going to read in the Bible just a little bit, too, about how Jesus reminded us that the greatest commandment, the most important thing, is to love God with everything we've got, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That means all the people we see, all the people that are out there, people who live in other countries, everything else, we want to care for them just like we would care for us, or people in our own family. Okay? Can we do that? Okay, let's ask you. Can we do that together, folks?
Yes.
Oh, they're saying yes too. Great. Okay, let's have a prayer together. I'll say it, and then you say it with me, okay? Dear God, we thank you for this day and all the jobs you give us. Help us get to work, to care for people, to love you, and do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for doing your job this morning and helping me out. Okay, go back. So at this time, I want you to remember the best choir anthem you ever heard. Think about it for the moment. Just remember what that was. Wasn't that good? Yeah. So we're so thankful for our choir, and they're not here today under orders. And so, but we're thankful for their service ongoing. We'll look forward to the day. Someday, it'll come. They'll be back, and won't that be good? Something to look forward to, right? So I want to share our second scripture reading this morning, and again, it's from Matthew. And you know, we're in this series now of the Passion of Christ. And throughout Lent, we're following Jesus in that last week of his life. And so we remembered Palm Sunday early this year as a way to kind of stick with the lesson plan of the books that we're going through. He overturned the money changers' tables. We learned about the risk of righteous anger. And today we're talking about the risk of challenge. That we've already heard that as Jesus is now in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, in that area, he's interacting with people. There's all kinds of activity, but there are people that are challenging him. And you just heard, you know, they were trying to trip him up with a question about whether he should pay taxes or not. We'll come back to that. It goes on, and now there's a question about, okay, so what's the greatest commandment? And again, this isn't a friendly discussion. It's more of it's like a hostile debate. And we know the intent. Jesus has already kind of stirred things up with turning over the money changers' tables. You know, we thought about, you know, if you see something, say something. It wasn't right, and so he called attention. It shouldn't be this way. People didn't like it, and now they're looking for ways to stop him, to squelch him, to get rid of him, even to put him to death. And in the Met context, then, he's got this question that we want to read chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On all these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. So this day is probably a day unlike any other that we've shared together in worship or that you've ever shared in worship. And we're finding ourselves in a new place. And the containment of the coronavirus is something now that we're all given that task. And we all have a job to do to flatten the curve. We know it's coming. We know it will probably get worse. And our objective is to slow it down so that our healthcare system is not overwhelmed too early, too fast. That's your task. Are you up for that? Are you feeling we can do that? I think we can. We're going to do the best that we can. You know, some of the challenges that we face will disrupt our daily routines. It might be challenging and frightening at times, but we are a people of hope. We believe God is still at work in this world and always will be. And so we can face these challenges with his help. Now, I have to admit, there are some new things. We have our grandsons that often are with us. A lot of times they go to the daycare on Friday. But this week it was like, you know, instead of going to the daycare, why don't you stay with Papa? So I had our 2 5-year-old and our 3-year-old all day Friday, and it was the best day ever. We had a great time. We went to the park, you know. We went to McDonald's at lunch. And it's interesting, you know, we're trying to take all kinds of precautions, but people are still in restaurants. And, we, you know, the reality is we can't just stay at home and do nothing. We're going to have to learn ways that we can interact with each other that minimize the spread of any kind of virus. But I realize how challenging that is with children. Partly why we cancel all our children things today. With our kids into McDonald's, and our 3-year-old is just like touching everything. I said, "No, don't touch that. Don't, no, wait, don't, you know." We got our Happy Meals. We're sitting at the counter, you know, and it's like my three-year-old next to me and my five-year-old says, here, let me help you with yours. Says, no, why are you got your lips on the seat? You know, don't do that. So the challenges are there, but at the same time, I had a great day. It was fun to be with him. Here's the point. We can make the most of whatever challenge, whatever it is that we face, and learn from it and prepare for whatever's the next thing that we'll face. I really think this is maybe a good test run for the whole world, that we've got to adapt and adjust to this because there'll be another virus at some point later on. And so in our church, in our nation, our community, we just want to trust that God is going to work through all of this and we can face it with confidence. Now, with that in mind, go to the scriptures, and one of the things that my daily devotional that I read, I'm reading the one-year Bible, and it's online, and so I can read it, you know, and it tells me how many days I've skipped. And I just felt I'd skipped a couple days. I just felt this morning I need to read it. And so here's part of what that daily devotional was for today in my one-year Bible. The Christian life is a battle. I've been following Jesus for four decades. As long as I look back on these years, there have been years of great blessing, more than I could ever ask or imagine. At the same time, there have been many challenges and obstacles. There have been very few periods when I have not been facing some kind of battle. And he goes on to say, so here's how you prepare for that. The readings today out of Psalms and Leviticus and the gospel readings talked about how you face these battles. Number one, trust in God. That's what we're going to do. The key to winning your battles, according to David, is not to rely on your own strength, but to put your strength, your trust in God. That's the first step. Second thing is to listen to God. These battles of life need not intimidate you. All the way through history, God's people have faced obstacles and challenges. And three, take instructions from God by raising up good leadership, that's all of you, and by mobilizing the people, that's what we're going to do. And when you know that you've received total forgiveness from God, you have to forgive others as you have to forgive others, and you have to forgive yourself. There's grace that will extend to one another. And so while I had a sermon prepared, it just seemed like this morning, okay, God, I was sort of drawn to that so that we can share that with you as well. That's maybe more of a message from God than it is for me. We're going to trust God. We're going to listen to God. We're going to raise up leaders. We're going to be mobilized to take on this challenge because there always have been challenges and there always will be challenges. Now, the scripture reading for today, I think, gives us some insight, some preparation. Again, Jesus, it's all about risk, our Bible study for this Lenten season. And honestly, there's risks whether you do something or whether you don't. No matter what you face, whatever you do, there's a risk either way. As Jesus came into the temple area, we knew it's the last his last week. We know the end of the story, but at the time, they didn't know how it was going to turn out. He risked righteous anger, turning over the money changers' tables and kind of shaking things up. Now he's risking challenge. And the people that are against what he's about have tried to trip him up. In the first reading, it was about this question about whether you should pay taxes to the emperor. And the people, the Pharisees that are trying to trick him up, I mean, the setting is, in Jesus' day, the Roman Empire had overrun Judea, kind of like a foreign occupying force. And so the Jewish people, the residents there, they hated the Romans. They saw them as outsiders, have come and overpowered us. And part of what they instituted was a census tax that all the residents of that region where they've been has been conquered have to pay a tax to the emperor. And so the local people hated that, And so they're trying to trip up Jesus to say, well, should we pay this or not? The trick was, or the temptation, the trap, I should say, was that if Jesus said you shouldn't pay the tax, that would be in favor of, you know, the local folks who hated the tax, but it would get him in trouble with the emperor, with the Romans. He could be charged with not supporting or encouraging people not to pay their taxes. Or he could say, yeah, pay the tax, that's what we should do. And then that alienates him from the local people, from the Jewish folks. It's really like being forced. Is it going to be one or the other? Jesus, who do you side with? That side or that side? Because they don't get along. They hate each other. And Jesus is being forced now to take a side. Now, his answer, of course, was brilliant. He says, okay, bring me one of the coins. And it was a denarius that you could only pay in the denarius, the Roman money. So people had to, you know, change their currency so they could have that specific denarius to pay that Roman tax. And obviously he didn't have it himself. That's why he had to ask for it. Bring me one. Here's the coin. He says, whose image is on that? Just like the coins that we have, there's a head on it, Washington or Lincoln or whoever it might be. Whose image is that? Well, it's Caesar's. And there would have been an inscription on it as well that said something to the effect of, Caesar, the august son of the divine emperor. So for the Jewish folks, the inscription is even blasphemous, that the emperor was seen like almost as a god. So Jesus obviously says, so whose image is on there? Well, it's Caesar's. And the great line that Jesus said, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. And they're all amazed, you know, that he was able to respond to that. He didn't fall into their trap. And when forced to say it's going to be one way or the other, Jesus said, you know what? You're going to have to make that choice. He didn't say don't pay the tax, and almost he said, well, you can pay the tax, but he said, you've got to wrestle with that. What belongs to Caesar? What belongs to God? We know everything belongs to God. How do we live within the government, the society, the culture we're in? We're still encouraged to do that. We're going to have to figure out how to do that. Jesus encouraged them to think about render unto Caesar, live within this environment, give to Caesar the government, the empire, the neighbors, and so on, what they are due, but never forget to give to God what is due to God. And in many ways, Jesus said, you're going to have to live in both worlds. This is God's world, but you live in this nation, this situation, you're going to have to figure out how to do both. You know, I guess I think that's the challenge for us still today, isn't it? We live in one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're citizens of this nation, those of us are. But, you know, we're also citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have to live in both worlds. Now, one of the things that I recently came across, interesting, my daughter put me onto a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And in this book, it talks about how we've gotten so polarized and so separated that it's really hurting us as a nation and as a society. But one of the things that they said, that there's a great untruth, is that many people are kind of defining the world now is either us or them, and they're bad and we're good. That the world is kind of evolving into, if somebody disagrees, they're bad. And they're the bad people, we're the good people. And I was fascinated to learn that there'd actually been some psychological experiments to prove how we're kind of hardwired that way as human beings. And the way that this was shown was that a guy did this experiment where they wired up the brain so they could see the brain activity. And then they would bring in people and would either touch them with a Q-tip or touch them with like a needle, poke them with a needle, cause pain. And then they would watch the brain reaction of people watching whether these other folks are getting touched with a Q-tip or poked with a needle. Okay? And what they found, and then they also would say, they had different hands that were out there, and they would say, like, thing was they would say, like, this is a Christian, this is a Muslim, this is, a, you know, like a different groups. And the person who was a Christian, when they were touched with the needle and poked, their brain would react at a higher level. And if it was somebody in another group, a different religion, when the person's hand was poked, their brain would not react as strongly. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there was just a natural tendency to feel more, react more, when it was perceived to be someone in your own group. And so they tried it with both the religious designations. Then they did just even random odd things, you know, just even flipping a coin. This is group A, this hand is group A, and you're group A. That was enough to show there was a measurable difference. That if that's somebody like me, when they felt pain, the brain reacted so that the person observing it felt the pain, or at least was more energized to feel that pain as well. See, in other words, we're hardwired to kind of think of ourselves in tribes. Who's on our side? In the evolution of humanity or civilization, I mean, there's something about us as human beings that we associate, we can be more closely connected to people who we think are in our tribe. They're in our group. We feel more safe with people who are like us. And so that might have been part of our development, that the challenge is when that gets to the point when we think we are somehow better than other groups, or that it's our group against somebody else, and we lose our compassion, our connection, our feeling for somebody who's not in my group. So the first passage where Jesus is talking about, you know, we've got to live, is it us or the Romans? We hate the Romans. The Romans are here. We don't care what happens to them. The Romans also were occupying a group that they didn't care about necessarily the people who were there, at least many of them. But Jesus was bringing a whole new challenging way to evolve beyond that, to somehow live in both worlds, that you're a child of God and you live in this society and have compassion and concern even for the Roman soldiers, even for the people who aren't like us, even for the people that would challenge you. Remember, Jesus has already said, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that can be hard to do. But in the second passage, as it goes along, then somebody, again, another Pharisee wants to trip him up and ask him about what's the greatest commandment? All the rules and the laws that the Jewish people had, what's the greatest one? And Jesus, like any other Jew, would have quoted the Shema out of Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Any Jewish person would have said the same thing. But then Jesus also said, love your neighbor as yourself. Quoting out of Leviticus, a verse that's there but fairly obscure in the book of Leviticus. Jesus elevates it to say that's just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think this is the key to talk about how we tie this together. To see the neighbor as like yourself. I mean, it's not somebody within your household. It's somebody who lives in another house. Someone in another group. Someone in another family. But think of them just like you would yourself. See them as somebody who's in your group. And that way more naturally be able to love them and care for them just as if you would care for yourself. Well, that's a very simple verse. It's a very challenging thing to do. Now, I think where we're at is in our world today is that we think of people in China, people in Iran, people, they're across the world, they're so far away, but we are seeing firsthand that we're so interconnected. The people on the other side of the world are just like us. And what happens in the other side of the world now affects all of us. The reality is we are all in this together. We all breathe the same air. We're all connected and dependent upon the same planet. And I believe the way that God wants us to get through this all is to see every other nation, every other people, to love them as we would love ourselves. And so that plays out in our neighborhoods. It plays out in our nation, and it plays out in our world. You know, I've also thought about, you know, the two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think we can invert those and think about the two greatest sins. The two greatest sins are, number one, idolatry. To put anything in the place of God. And it might not just be like different types of gods, but also material wealth or our career or possessions. Anything that we put in place of God is going to get us in a lot of trouble. And secondly, dehumanization. To look at anyone else, a child of God, as being less than me or less than a human being. You know, I was reading recently, too, that, the one of the greatest tragedies of the human race, the Holocaust. You know, there was a saying out that the Holocaust didn't start with the killings. It started with words. It started with a mindset that a certain group of people, that the Jews were less than human. And that's what then enabled eventually people to treat them as less than human. And the great tragedy of millions of people, people could just allow people to be executed and killed because they saw them as less than human beings. And you know, that happens even in our daily lives. We call somebody an SOB, we're calling them a dog. When people use names that dehumanize other people or use words in regards to females or anything that refer to them as less than a human being, we're starting down that slippery slope of dehumanizing them. And once that happens, then we don't feel what they feel. And then we begin to not care, and then we're really in bad shape. Okay. Here's our challenge. To see our neighbors as ourselves, to see people on the other side of all the walls that we build as someone just like us, worthy of God's love and our compassion as well. I want to share with you, I want to practice with you. Tomorrow, I'm traveling to Des Moines, and Gary Moore, a member of our church, is a member of the State House of Representatives, invited me to say the prayer before the beginning of the legislature tomorrow. And so both for the Senate and then for the House, I've got a prayer to offer, and I want to practice on you. Would that be all right? So let me pull it up here. And here's the key. With everything happening, you got a minute. They told me I've got 1 minute, so somebody can start the clock here. And I want to share this prayer with you. Okay. Dear God, in the midst of a national emergency and global pandemic, there is so much to say, but I've been told that I only have 1 minute. What can you do in 1 minute? A lot. It takes less than 1 minute to vote yes or no. It takes less than 1 minute to offer a word of support to someone. It takes less than a minute to decide to do the right thing. Today we pray for all those affected by the coronavirus. We pray for the people in China, Italy, Iran, Europe, across our beloved nation, and across the street in our own neighborhoods. Help us to see our common humanity in all people. As we keep our social distance, may our hearts grow closer to you and to each other. We pray for our healthcare workers, first responders, peace officers, civil servants, and our armed forces. And I pray for all the people in this room as decisions are made on behalf of others. We're thankful for every minute that you give to us, and we pray for the wisdom to use it to do the right thing. Amen. Anybody know how close that was? Yeah. Was that a minute?
A little over.
How far was it?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes, my gosh, that was terrible. 10 seconds, all right. Well, that probably won't be the first time, but we'll see. So here's a challenge. We're all in this together. God bless you all for what we're going to do. It's likely that we won't worship together next week. We're going to follow our local guidelines. We've already had encouragement from the bishop. But we've got a job to do. It's to care for the people who are most in need. It's to see our neighbors as ourselves. It's to see all the residents, all the citizens of the world as brothers and sisters, and to show compassion and care for them. Oh my, it's a big job. It always has been. But with God's help, we're up for the challenge. Amen. So at this point, instead of taking the offering, we're done. I mean, we still got the offering, but you just place it in the baskets on your way out. We're going to sing, let's do our prayer dedication, then we'll sing our final hymn. Any questions or anything before we go? I mean, I don't mean questions, but I mean, oh my gosh, this is going to be an amazing week. Who knows what it will bring? And, you know, we've all got a job to do. Let's pray the prayer of dedication at this point. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you asked us to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. We believe that everything is God's, and so we give everything back to you. We dedicate these gifts, and we dedicate our lives to sharing with others the teachings of Christ. We look forward to the day that the whole world joins in praise and surrender. Amen. Please stand up for the benediction. Okay, I'm rolling up my sleeves because it's another way to say we've got some work to do. And with God's help, you are up for the challenge. We're not going to gather for fellowship. Again, you can greet with people, talk with you, maintain your distance, prepared for a new life, a new way of life. But with God's grace and God's help, we will face it together, and it will still be good. A good day, a good life, a good world that God has given to us to care for, and to see our neighbors as ourselves. As you go into the world this week, go with the strength, the confidence of knowing that you do not go alone. As we face all the challenges of this world, know that God gives us the strength that we could never imagine, and we can face them together. For the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen. And I guess let's sing that hymn now as we close. We'll walk out, but go ahead and we'll sing this hymn, I Surrender All to Jesus.